This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Social movements have a long and powerful history in Bolivia, and their recent activity is no exception. 1 month ago, the Bolivian Congress announced that it would increase taxes charged to foreign oil and gas companies. Thousands of workers and peasants think this increase is not good enough and are demanding complete nationalization of resources. In recent weeks, protesters have blocked roads that connect the city of La Paz to the rest of the country, occupied oil fields, and forced the president to resign. Bolivia's poor and indigenous majority has waged many similar protests over the past 2 decades in their fight against a series of neoliberal policies. In 2000, Bolivians successfully blocked the privatization of the country's water supply. Marcela Olivares was a key activist in the 2000 Water Wars, and she's now a researcher at the Democracy Center in Cochabamba, Bolivia, and she has joined us on the phone. Good morning, Marcela.
Good morning.
When the Congress announced its decision around the taxation of foreign oil companies, the popular movements in Bolivia reacted immediately. Why did this decision spark such a powerful protest?
Well, this is a problem that comes like a year ago. You know, it's not a new problem. If you remember, a year ago, it was a similar explosion because the government was trying to export the oil and gas to California. And with prices that were, you know, like for free, almost for free for the corporations, nothing for the people here. And it was a huge, huge uprising. And as a result of that, the government had to resign and had to escape. And now the former president, Gonzalo Sánchez de Lozada, is living in Washington. And so it comes from there, you know. What happened a couple of weeks ago is that the government, as a result of this huge uprising a year ago, tried to impose new taxes on the corporations. But, you know, for us that wasn't enough. A year ago we asked for nationalization from these natural resources. And, you know, it was a huge uprising again, and as a result of that, the president had to resign again.
Now, you mentioned nationalization of oil and gas as one of the central demands of the social movements in the current manifestations. What else are they demanding?
There are basically two things. You know, one is the nationalization of these important natural resources, and the other is the that the government could call for a constituent assembly where all the social movements, all the sectors in this country could sit down together and could talk and could design a new kind of country, a new kind of democracy, because this democracy doesn't work anymore. The system here in Bolivia doesn't work anymore. There is no government. There is no governability. So we want this assembly where we could discuss, we can discuss these kind of issues, you know, like natural resources, to whom they belong, who has the rights over these things, to who belongs the water, you know, and these important issues that must be analyzed and talk for all the people who lives in this country.
Bolivia, like many countries, but particularly has a great variety of social groups, class structure groupings, social movements. Was it difficult for the movements to reach consensus around these two shared demands that you've explained?
No, it's not. I think we all agree with the same demands. What we don't agree yet is how we are gonna go, you know, to how we are gonna get these two things. I think those are the main problems right now in the social movements, that we can't talk with each other and, you know, have a analysis and have a same kind of procedures for to get these two things. But I think we all agree with this, the same two things, you know, nationalization of these resources and also this assembly, constituent assembly.
You said the difficulty is around how tactically to achieve the those goals. Could you explain maybe a little bit about some of those differences?
Well, there are, for example, a lot of indigenous groups, and the indigenous groups in the east of the country are not the same indigenous group that are in the west of the country. So, and they each group has their own demands, has their own problems and their own issues. So it's very hard to put in one all the demands of the people. Is very, very hard. So those are main problems here. Bolivia, it's very, very diverse. It's not even, you know, people sometimes imagine that Bolivia is just the part of the Andes, but no, we have also rainforest, and the problems with the land, for example, in the east part of the country are not the same problems that the indigenous groups have in the west part of the country. So it's very hard right now to put in one all these demands.
Could you, the protests, we should go back, the protests forced the resignation of the former president, Carlos Mesa. Can you explain what happened next in terms of the presidency of Bolivia?
Well, first, the demands of the people here were never the resignation of the president. That was a result of many things that were going on here, but those were never the demands of the people here. And, you know, people thought, oh, now that there's a new president, everything is resolved in Bolivia, but it's not like that. Things are not resolved here because the two main demands were not resolved. So what's going on right now is that we have a transitory government. This new president has to call for elections to have a new president before the end of the year. There is also a discussion right now at the Congress about if all the deputies and senators, if they should also resign and to do a general election also, where we could also elect new deputies and senators. But those things, once more, doesn't matter who if we have a new president or if we have new elections. That's not the main problem. That's not going to resolve the things that we are living right now in Bolivia. The people talk very, very clear. You know, people want the nationalization and want also this assembly, this constituent assembly, and until those things could be possible in Bolivia, I think we are going to be living the same problems over and over again, the same violence in the streets and the same mobilization.
Currently, I didn't ask you, let's say today, are there still blockades and sit-ins and occupations, or has there been a change in that particular part of the actions of the social movements?
Well, the social movements declare a truce because after, you know, almost a month of mobilizations, continuous mobilizations on the streets, people were tired also. So the government, the social movements decided to declare a truce and to recover strength. Today, for example, there is a big, big meeting of social movements here in Cochabamba. People from La Paz, from Santa Cruz arrived for this meeting. And I think important things are going to come from this meeting here, and we'll see what happens next week and next month. You know, this is not over. In any minute, this is going to explode again.
The constitution that is one of the new constitution that is one of the demands being put forward by the social movements, are there ideas presently being discussed as to what its elements would be that would address the structural problems that the social movements want changed in Bolivia?
Yeah, basically, you know, there are some things that we want to discuss in this process. One is the, you know, natural resources, you know, to whom they belong, who has the power over those issues. But I think most important than that is, you know, who decides in this country and how this process of decisions are taken. So people wants to, for example, wants new kind of labels or process for people to decide and have some impact in the decisions that come from the government. So until right now, there's no doubt such a process of consultation and to the population about important things, you know, like to sell gas to other countries or to sell gas to the corporations. So there are no process of consultation of that. So what people is demanding is changes in the constitution that goes through that, you know, how the decisions are taken in this country and who decides about these issues that affect to all of us. I think that's the main thing that is going to be treated in this assembly.
The ruling groups, the rich and powerful in Bolivia in terms of land ownership and so on, collaboration with the United States, do you fear that there's a ways that they could enter into this constituent assembly process to manipulate it for their own advantage to continue the policies that benefit them?
Yeah, of course they are going to try to do that, and they are, you know, there are some groups of power, especially on the west part of this country where, you know, gas and oil are. Those groups are already creating some kind of militias, you know, with young people and in getting arms and things like that. So it's probably they are going to try to influence in this assembly, in the decisions of this assembly. But I think also that social movements are a majority. You know, these groups of power are just a minority in this country. That's why the majority wants changes. And we know also that the World Bank and the IMF are trying to finance in some way this constituent assembly in the government. They are starting to work with some indigenous groups to try to convince them. But I don't think, you know, I think people are not fooled in this country. They realize from where the bad policies are coming, and we have too much faith in this assembly. We know that we are going to be able to discuss these issues, and we are going to be able to put the agenda from the social movements there.
Continuing with that comment that you made, and looking back over the long series of struggles that the social movements have waged, let's say even starting with the water privatization that you were involved in 2000, do you think the social movements have become over this period of struggle more strategic and enhanced capabilities as a result of the battles they've been in?
Yeah, I think so. You know, in April 2000, after 20 years of defeats, you know, many losses from the social movements, finally in April 2000 we have this huge victory. You know, we could revert a process of privatization that the government put it for almost 20 years in this country, and with the, you know, such important resource like it's the water. So after that, you know, after April 2000, for the social movements, a door is open. The people believe that people can win. You know, if people are united, people can win. People don't have fear anymore. You know, people are with more strength on the streets. We know that the only way that our voices could be heard for the government and other institutions is just being on the streets. There's no other way. There's no possibility of dialogue with the government, because that's the only voice that they can hear, the voice that comes from the streets. And after April 2000, we have been winning small battles, you know, like in the COCA issue, for example, or when the government tried to privatize health and education, we could revert that process too. And now we are stopping this exploitation of oil and gas. So there are these small victories from the social movements through these 5 years almost. And we have so much hope since then. You know, we know that it's possible to win, And we are in that struggle every day.
Just one last brief question. This week or last week, the G8 announced this offer to cancel Bolivia's debt. Of course, they have all kinds of conditions. What effect do you think that offer is going to have on the struggle against neoliberalism in Bolivia?
Well, first, that we know that that's in any way it's a relief for this country. More than that, it's, as you said, it's more impositions, more conditions, more policies coming from the World Bank and the IMF and the rich countries and corporations. You know, corporations are behind all of this. And it's going to be worse, I think, the situation here. And it's very, I don't know how these institutions outside, you know, like the World Bank and the IMF, can't notice what's going on in this country, because our voices are loud, you know, people are dying on the streets, and those institutions don't care about what's going on here. It's not something that is going on only in Bolivia. It's something that happened also in Ecuador, happened a long time ago in Argentina too. And I think those are important messages, but I think also these guys don't learn the lessons.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us, Marcela. I know you're occupied with many active organizing work, and we wish you strength and success in that effort.
Thank you very much to you, and we hope that through these channels, you know, where our voices are being listening there, we could build also links among social movements there.
Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. I've been speaking with Marcela Olivares of the Democracy Center in Cochabamba, Bolivia. And if you'd like to look up the website for her organization, the address is www.democracyctr.org. democracyctr.org.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.